So let's look to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we'll read the first 24 verses. The first 24 verses. And our text will be especially verse 17. But hear the word of the Lord. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, to the sepulchre, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to him, unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and sees the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without or outside of the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And then the rest of the chapter tells about Jesus coming again to visit the disciples, with Thomas present the following Lord's Day. As I said, our text is verse 17, where Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Jesus arose from the dead, just as he said he would. And every Sunday, we remember and celebrate this glorious gospel fact, as confessing Christians. We serve a living Savior. To all skeptics of this historical gospel truth and fact, we would answer with Paul's question in Acts 26 verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And to all peoples, we would declare what the same apostle says in Romans 10, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And for the church of all ages, including our generation, we would remind all what the apostle Paul states too in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. As living, victorious Savior of sinners, too often, no doubt, still we do forget that Jesus lives. He lives ever ready and able and willing his salvation blessings for body and soul to give and to share for this life already here and for the life to come forevermore. Everything about the Christian gospel is so wonderfully true and truly wonderful with Jesus having risen from the dead. On this Sunday, I want to see with you something of the riches of Jesus' gospel as resurrected Savior. And I want to draw your attention, therefore, to a little detail in connection with Jesus' first resurrection appearance. There were 11 resurrection appearances altogether, and it's good if we know them. But in John 20, the passage we read, we learn of Jesus' first resurrection appearance. It was to Mary Magdalene. We know this for sure was the first appearance, for we read in Mark 16, verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Interestingly, it was to a woman whom Jesus first made himself known as resurrected Savior. And no one less than a woman who had been formerly so oppressed and suppressed by sin and Satan. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And doesn't this show also the fact that Jesus first came to Mary Magdalene? Doesn't it show him so gracious, so full of loving kindness when you look to him? Even if you too are oppressed and struggling, the Lord Jesus is Savior of sinners. J.C. Ryle notes that about Mary Magdalene being the first to meet resurrected Savior. She was the first, he says, to see our Lord after he arose from the dead. The first to hear his voice. The first to hold conversation with him. Can there be any doubt, he says, that this was written for our learning? How she loved Christ. How she needed Christ. How she missed him. And see how Jesus honors her with his appearance, most loving and wonderful indeed. What we will focus on in this sermon is Jesus' word to her as given in verse 17. Jesus says to her, when Mary Magdalene realized Jesus was alive and standing before her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Especially those words, Jesus says, I am not yet ascended to my Father. I want to think with you about that and consider with you the love behind this fact, the purpose with this fact, and the promise with this fact. Oh, it's a little detail in the whole resurrection story of Jesus, and one easily overlooked, but it is a tremendous gospel detail, telling the wonderful good news of Jesus and his resurrection and his significance for us still today. But first, let me just retell the whole delightful story of Mary Magdalene meeting with Jesus as the risen Savior indeed. It's so good for us to know and enjoy the story, the history. It's a beautiful and touching story for sure. It was early Sunday morning, still dark out, when this Mary Magdalene with some others goes to the tomb of Jesus to pay the last respects to his body. Oh, how they loved him so. And they hadn't thought, however, about that big heavy stone that was in front of Jesus' tomb, that the Romans had put in front. And that was part of the tomb itself, the way it was constructed. And they hadn't thought either about the soldiers that the Romans had arranged to be around the tomb at the request of the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders, you know, they were afraid of foul play from the Jews, that someone might take Jesus' body, and that then rumors of his resurrection would spread falsely. And by all means, that must not happen. So, there go these women, not knowing all these things. And when they come around the bend in that garden, they see that tomb in the distance, and they see that the stone had already been rolled away, and that Jesus' grave was open. And from our text chapter, we learn this made Mary Magdalene, just seeing that open tomb from a distance, it made her leave the group of women, and it made her, in a panic, run to the disciples, Peter and John. And she tells them, as you can imagine, all out of breath, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. You see, Mary Magdalene had rushed to her own conclusions without basis, without fact. Lots of people do that. Without basis, they rush to their own conclusions about things. Her report caused both Peter and John to run to the tomb of Jesus. And while John came there first, we are told, Peter was the first, typically, to enter in. That was his character, his bold character. And then John followed later. And we're told, John, when he sees the grave clothes of Jesus still all there in the tomb, he understood. And he believed, yes, Jesus must have risen from the dead indeed. But Peter, he went out from there still questioning and wondering what all might mean. He would soon find out. For Jesus' third resurrection appearance that first Easter Sunday was to Peter, as Luke 24, verse 34 tells us, and 1 Corinthians 15:5 confirms to us. Jesus' second resurrection appearance would be with the other group of women whom Mary had left, who met in the tomb as they kept going. They met in the tomb there, an angel, who told them, "He is not here, dear women. He's risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, as he said." So we read in Matthew 28, and then a few verses later, the story is told how, as they went to tell the disciples, praise God, then Jesus himself met with them as resurrected Savior. But what now about Mary Magdalene and her first meeting with Jesus? How did that happen? Well, apparently, she followed back to the tomb after Peter and John, returning more slowly to the tomb of Jesus, not running back there, like she had run away from there. And when she arrived back then in the garden by the empty tomb of Jesus, then not only were the other women already gone, but so were Peter and John. This means Mary Magdalene was alone by the tomb. The other woman had left, and so had the two disciples. We are told Mary Magdalene was weeping by the tomb and deeply mourning the loss of Jesus. And in the process, she takes a look in that sepulchre. And what a surprise she meets with doing so. For we are told two angels speak with her from inside the tomb. And she gets asked by them, why was she crying so? Why weepest thou? It hardly seems to register with Mary Magdalene that she's speaking with angels from heaven. In her emotional and spiritual distress, she doesn't even take that in. And she responds to them mentioning her Lord's death, and someone must have taken away Jesus' body, and she didn't know where his body was placed and where they laid him. And she laments about that. And then this Mary Magdalene, she turns around and she sees a man just outside the tomb nearby. And it was actually Jesus. But she didn't recognize him, we are told. No doubt partly because she in no way could ever imagine that it might be Jesus. Jesus was dead and his body had just had to be somewhere. Oh, if she only knew where. We are told then Jesus asks the question to Mary Magdalene, woman, Why are you weeping? I love thinking about that. Those were the first words of Jesus, the resurrected Savior. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And then Mary, we're told, she thinks this man must be the gardener for Joseph of Arimathea. And she asks him, could he maybe help her? Sir, if you have borne or carried him, that is Jesus' body, from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. You can just feel the love and the passion and the care of Mary for Jesus, can't you? Jesus, we are told, then says to her, Mary. And the way he said it, just like before, but no doubt with even more tenderness and love, yet, if that is possible, she suddenly realized and saw, oh, this man before me, he's Jesus himself. He has risen from the dead. And the text implies she falls at his feet and clings to him with hearty, holy love and affection, saying to him as she does so, Rabboni. Which is to say, Master. Well, that's the story of Jesus' first resurrection appearance. But now, listen to the rest of the true story. This most special historical event of so much gospel significance. As Mary Magdalene falls at Jesus' feet and clings to him as if she would never let him go again, Jesus responds with the words of our text, John 20:17. He says to her, touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. The point here is, dear congregation, not that Jesus was disallowing Mary Magdalene to touch his resurrected body. Something that we know Jesus later invited Thomas, in fact, to do. But Mary, in her clinging to Jesus, was thinking wrongly that now everything would be back to normal again, with Jesus always there. And she wasn't fully grasping the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection. John Calvin writes thus correctly when we can say, and I quote, the meaning of these words of Jesus, touch me not, is that Christ's state of resurrection would not be full and complete until Jesus should sit down in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, Mary did wrong in satisfying herself with having nothing more than half of his resurrection and desiring only to enjoy his presence, his physical presence in this world. One of the early church fathers, Chrysostom, wrote in the same vein, quote, methinks Mary wished still to converse with Jesus as before, and in her joy conceived nothing greater in him, although Jesus had become far more excellent in the flesh and as Savior and friend than she ever knew him before. Along the same line, J.C. Ryle comments in connection with Jesus' words, touch me not, quote, very likely Mary Magdalene behaved too much like one who thought all must be right if she had her Lord's bodily presence, and all must be wrong in his bodily absence. She acted, in short, like one who forgot that his master was God, that her master was God as well as man. She made too little of his divinity and too much of his humanity. So Jesus says, touch me not. Literally, don't fasten yourself to me and cling to me so now, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, dear congregation belonging to Christ, think further with me now, just of these words, I have not yet ascended to my Father. We know Jesus didn't ascend to his Father in heaven till how many days, children, do you know, after his resurrection? 40 days. 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. Will you stop and wonder with me at this gospel truth and see Jesus' great love behind this and Jesus' gracious purpose with this, and last, Jesus' glorious promise with this. Jesus' great love behind not ascending to the Father immediately upon his resurrection. Can you see and sense this point with me? Just think of it. Here Jesus was finally finished the work of making perfect atonement for sin. He perfectly completed all that was required so that sinners like us, in and through Him, Jesus Christ, might find full and complete salvation for body and soul, in life and death, for time and eternity. And now Jesus arose from the dead in evidence of this all. And God His Father thereby also showed His clear and complete approval of all of Jesus' person and work as Savior. And yet, Jesus doesn't immediately ascend to His Father to glory in these gospel accomplishments. Consider too how that salvation plans were from eternity, way back. Way back, determined and divided within the Trinity. And now at last fulfilled with Jesus' finished work as crucified and risen Savior of sinners. After thousands and thousands of years in anticipation and preparation and foreshadowing of it all, finally, all was at last completed with Jesus' death and resurrection as Savior of sinners. And yet, Jesus doesn't immediately ascend to His Father. No. And think of it too, here, how Jesus and the Father were so intimately related and were so united and focused along with the Holy Spirit in this greatest work, this greatest of works in all the universe, in all of history. But now, when it's accomplished wonderfully, yet Jesus remains here on earth. And He waits a while before actually physically ascending to His Father in heaven. Jesus delayed going back to His Father in glory. He delayed going home to bask in God's love. He delayed to rejoice together as triune God in the marvelous works of God and the wonderful, certain, and eternal results of those works. When He made creation, triune God rested together the seventh day. But with recreation, He waited and did not come home right away. We need to stop and take note of this, surely. Do you think so too? What amazing love that Jesus, a human being like us in all things, don't forget that, delayed His ascension back to heaven for some time. That 40 days, almost 6 weeks total, before He returned to His Father in heaven. The ascension happened on the Mount of Olives, as recorded in Acts 1 for us. 40 days after His resurrection. We need to see Jesus' love here for His people in this fact, not yet ascended. While most certainly for Jesus as only begotten and most beloved Son of His Father, and being a human being like us in all things, surely He would have so longed to go home. There's no question about Jesus' ascension back to heaven that it was something He would have so been looking forward to with such eager anticipation and expectation. Who of us in family life, if we have special events, special accomplishments in our lives, who of us doesn't much delight in especially sharing that then with our loved ones, particularly with those closest to us? But Jesus, even as resurrected Savior, He thinks first of the needs of His people more than of His own delights. His delight above all is to care for His own and to have them most comforted and assured in His gospel truth and treasures and promises. Oh, I'm convinced we should so much see the love of God behind these words of Jesus to Mary. I am not yet ascended to my Father. Jesus, you see, He knew it would be most helpful to spend some time still with His disciples here on earth, with His closest followers before He ascended. I mean, how devastating. How confused, how troubled and distressed all His followers were with Jesus' death. They also had not taken seriously Jesus' foretelling on various occasions that He would not only suffer and die, but rise again. There was so much hopelessness and depression and discouragement just after Jesus' death that they couldn't even hope to dare to believe that Jesus would rise and that He would conquer death and be their resurrected, living and everlasting Savior and friend and Lord and King over all. The Lord Jesus is Savior for those who hardly can hope to dare to believe. You can trust Him. The disciples didn't grasp it at all, but Jesus stayed behind to make it plain. We read in Luke 24:11 that even after the women who actually had seen Jesus heard Him speak to them in His second resurrection appearance, the report of Jesus' resurrection then through the apostles, we're told their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So I say, how good and kind, do you see it with me? How good and kind it was of Jesus as resurrected Savior to stay a while here on earth in His physical, resurrected, glorified body, that He might minister to His followers, especially also to His disciples. Acts 1 tells us that Jesus wasn't taken up to glory till after He had instructed His disciples. Verse 3 of Acts 1 reads, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Beloved, that Jesus stayed around a while shows so much His tender love and care for His people and for His gospel cause. Wouldn't you say so too? Isn't it so great to know this? How that as resurrected Savior, Jesus hasn't become indifferent to us. That He's no longer in tune with us in our needs and in our weaknesses. But He still so much cares for His people. Never should we think either, now that Jesus is no longer on earth, but now in glory at God's right hand as ascended Savior, that He is detached from His people and little concerned about His people here on earth. Oh no, Jesus cares infinitely for all who trust and follow Him. All who repent of sin and believe on Him. Jesus, resurrected Savior, so ministering to His distressed people, not going to glory yet, but being there for His own, when that was so much needed for them. That's who Jesus is. I always love to think about it, how that Jesus on His first resurrection day, He made at least, you know how many? 5 pastoral visits. He was busy. He made 5 pastoral visits. Showing Himself alive to this one and that one and revealing the full meaning of His death and resurrection to His people. Jesus' first appearance was to Mary Magdalene. The second was to the group of women who left the tomb. And they met Jesus on the way. The third was to Simon Peter, all alone. And think how special that was. Peter, who had denied Jesus, who made such a mess of his life, the Lord Jesus met especially with him to minister to him. And then there was that appearance to those 2 from Emmaus who were so confused and so troubled. And Jesus ministered to them so that their hearts were burning with love and with encouragement. And they knew Jesus rose from the dead. They run to Jerusalem. And as they come there, there is the 5th appearance in the upper room. Jesus meets with the disciples. See Jesus not yet ascended to His Father, but ministering, as was desperately needed for His confused and comfortless followers. And don't you with me love Jesus so for this faithful, tender ministry as resurrected Savior? You know, very many people today are literally so friendless and comfortless, and hopeless, and despairing. I met with someone this week who told me he tried to commit suicide 2 or 3 times. He told me one time about running as fast as he could. And he was running to try to run out of his skin, he said. Because he couldn't stand himself. His life was so miserable, and so hopeless. But he found God. And it changed. Oh, if people would only come to know God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Yes, in, as we've made known in the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Is this your conviction and confession as well? Each one in church here this Sunday morning. Let us not only see Jesus' love here, but let us know that love and reflect that love in turn to others. Jesus says to Mary that he had not yet ascended to his Father as resurrected Savior. And Jesus says that to her in explaining to her not to cling to him as if his being present there was all that counted. No, Jesus was about so much more than Mary and his followers at this point realized. So before ascending to heaven, Jesus would stay a while still. Stay a while also for good and gospel reasons. Indeed, here will you notice with me then, not only so much great love behind Jesus not yet ascending, but also such gracious purpose behind Jesus not yet ascending. Why did Jesus stay around on earth those 40 days after his resurrection from the dead? Can you think of some of the reasons? Was it not, for one, to give absolute evidence that he had risen from the dead indeed? He would make known there was no doubt about it. As I mentioned, there are altogether 11 resurrection appearances recorded for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, Paul tells us about one resurrection appearance of Jesus to a gathering of over 500 brethren. Can you imagine that event? What a service that would have been. Jesus would leave undoubted testimony, especially also to his disciples, for his disciples who were to be having that foundational key role in the beginning of the church, the New Testament church. They needed, Jesus knew, they needed this assurance that Jesus truly had risen from the dead, just as he said. We are not following, says Peter, cunningly devised fables when asserting Jesus arose from the dead. No, for Jesus gave ample evidence it was so in those 40 days before he ascended to his Father. It may have been that he appeared many more times than is recorded for us in the Bible even. But not only was Jesus' purpose in delaying his ascension to prove his resurrection from the dead beyond a shadow of a doubt, but also, Jesus would make clear, wouldn't he, the great gospel meaning and message of his death and resurrection. Jesus greeted the disciples as resurrected Savior, saying what? Peace be unto you. And he showed them his nail-pierced hands and feet, didn't he? To make plain to them the fullness of peace that he had accomplished for them as Savior of sinners. In Belgic Confession, Article 21, there's a beautiful expression of faith. Testifying how in Christ's wounds we may find all manner of consolation when belonging to him. You see, Jesus by his wounds, by his shed blood and his resurrection has obtained indeed for sinners like us, for his people, perfect peace and everlasting reconciliation with God. Through his finished work, even to the death on the cross, a sin bearer and triumphant Savior, now there is forgiveness of sins. There is everlasting righteousness for us before God. There is the gift of eternal life for whoever believes on him. It's not a fib. It's the truth. Indeed, how meaningful and beautiful really is the instruction given to Mary Magdalene by Jesus. Mary Magdalene, who would so hold on to Jesus in a short-sighted sort of way, Jesus says to her, don't cling now to me so. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. What is taught here, dear congregation, is that through Jesus' person and work as Savior, this is the truth, his dear Father in heaven, in a special divine way, becomes now also the disciples' dear Father in heaven in a gracious, blessed way. They may all be adopted into the family of God through Jesus' saving work on sinners' behalf. This is the gospel still today. believing in Christ and following after Jesus and His gospel word, we may come to God and know Him as our Father. We may pray to Him as Jesus taught, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven." We may make all our petitions and needs known to Him, and He cares for us. He is the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort for us in and through Jesus Christ. This person who I spoke to this week said, "I didn't know God as Father. I wanted Him as my Father, but I didn't know Jesus." But through Jesus, as he came to know, you can have God as your Father. How amazing, too, that the disciples, who had just a few days previously all fled and forsaken Jesus in His time of suffering and need, Jesus here calls them what? His brothers. And Jesus surely explained that all further to them in His resurrection appearances, how in and through Him, the Savior of sinners, we may by grace alone, through faith alone, in Him alone, indeed become reconciled to God and be part of the family of God in a true and everlasting way even, and know and enjoy the bond of eternal love. That's God's covenant purposes, ultimately fulfilled. Notice too how Jesus as resurrected Savior labored to open the Scriptures to His followers. We are so blind by nature. But Jesus taught His disciples and opened their understanding and opened the Word to them that they might see how all the Bible, from all the books of the Old Testament, from Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, they spoke of Christ. They testify of Christ and of His sin-atoning death and of His life-giving resurrection and of His triumphant ascension and of His wonderful return one day and of His final last judgment to come. Jesus told them too of the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son, who would make all things plain to them and who would empower them for their calling and their great commission to go out into all the world with the Christian gospel message. Who were these simple disciples to go out into all the world with the gospel message, with any hope? Well, Jesus would show them. He would empower them and bless them. And the Word would not return to Him void. Altogether, it's clear, isn't it? The gracious purpose of Jesus not yet ascending to His Father when He arose, it was to prove and to explain and to apply and to minister and to equip His own in the riches of the gospel ministry and in their calling to tell others the great good news of Jesus the Savior, crucified for our sins, yes, but risen again as triumphant Savior, triumphant over sin, Satan, death, and hell, and this world on our behalf, and come to give life freely and abundantly and eternally so. Well, there was great love in Jesus staying behind for a while as resurrected Savior. There was gracious purpose in and with it all. And lastly, surely, there was glorious promise in this all too. Why do I say that? Well, here Mary was thinking and acting, wasn't she? With Jesus' resurrected Savior before her, "Oh, I have Him back now. And everything will be so good." But Jesus corrects her. "Mary, you don't know the half. Dear Mary Magdalene, things will become far better and more wonderful, exceeding abundantly, above all that you can ask or think or imagine or dream possible." In these words of Jesus to Mary, "For I have not yet ascended to my Father," Jesus was saying to Mary, as it were, that uninterruptible fellowship for which you so yearn, dear Mary, that must wait until I have ascended to be forever with the Father. And from there, from the throne room in heaven, I will provide for all my people here on earth. And I will call and gather by my word and spirit sinners from every tribe and tongue and nation, as many as are ordained to eternal life, and as many as repent and believe the gospel. I will gather them, and I will pour out from the Father and myself the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, and He will teach you and lead you and further shepherd you in the way everlasting. And in heaven too, I will work to prepare a place for you, for all mine own. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I will work, I will lead all things as ascended Savior. that all believers will come to me to be with me forever in the new heavens and in the new earth. And while still here on earth, I will take care from glory that all things work out together for good to those who love me and follow me. Oh, dear congregation, when you think of this all, do you see with me how wonderful it is truly to know and trust and follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? He's so perfect. He's so precious. He's so beautiful. He's so gentle. He's so good. He's so kind. To live apart from Him is to live and die comfortless, really and ultimately. But to trust and follow Jesus, Jesus of the Scriptures, the crucified and risen Redeemer. Oh, that's the way to live and die happily and triumphantly, regardless of your circumstances, in all your needs, body and soul, in life and death. Jesus lives. That's the message of His resurrection. We highlighted it again this day. He lives. And He lives as a precious, merciful, gracious Savior. Are you hearing this good news? Does it draw you to Christ? Does it fill you too and thrill your soul as well this day and for all your life? Jesus told Mary to go and tell the disciples the good news. And surely, knowing Christ as true and living, triumphant Savior, who so cares for us and saves us from every sin and sin's miserable consequences, won't we too, you and I, spread the good news while having opportunity, each one of us in our different ways and places, and also as church all together? How many are living in darkness and blindness and confusion and despair and discouragement all around us? Just have your eyes and ears open and you'll know that's true. Who might you tell that Jesus lives and how that makes all the difference? He who died to save us from our sins lives again to minister to us. So great salvation, even for all who have ears to hear. The psalmist says in Psalm, I don't know which psalm it is, I think it's Psalm 18, "Thy gentleness has made me great." We see His gentleness in having not yet ascended for 40 days. Let's rejoice in His gentleness and let's reflect it one to another. Jesus' first resurrection appearance to Mary Magdalene, the details of that story drip with so much gospel tidings, more than can be told and more than can ever be exhausted. We just emphasize Jesus saying to Mary Magdalene as resurrected Savior, not yet having ascended to the Father. And just that detail is so full of so much good news. Will you receive it and rejoice in it and live accordingly to His praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for so great a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord? May God bless us so. And singing also now Psalter 54, based on Psalm 23. Amen.